indicated who our main attraction is for today. Let me take just a moment to introduce you to his family, however. And we'll invite them to stand, I suppose, as I introduce them. Dr. Fletcher had five children by a former wife, Lorena Shipman, a girl he found from American Fort. She has since passed away. She was Mother of the Year at one time. And Brother Fletcher has since married Fern Shipman. And Sister Fern, could you stand, please? We'd like to get acquainted with you and remain just a moment. Her husband was Carl Irie. Brother Carl was Dean of the College of Engineering and Physical Sciences for about 20 years or so. And in due time, married Brother Harvey, who we're going to listen to today. In addition, we have in attendance his son, Harvey, Jr. We'll invite him to stand just a moment. You've seen him. He was the first PhD graduated in mathematics from the University of Utah. He taught at Brigham Young University for 19 years and was head of the mathematics department for 4 years. He was selected by the BYU students as the outstanding professor for the year 1969, and he is presently employed in mathematical research at Irie Research Institute here in Provo. In addition, Brother Fletcher is accompanied by two grandchildren, a niece, Maureen Hughes, and a daughter-in-law, and we'd invite those individuals to stand also. And Harvey Jr.'s wife, yes, Dia. Okay, let's give those folks a hand, if you will, please. It's a pleasure for me to introduce our notable personality for this morning, Dr. Harvey Fletcher, distinguished scientist and engineer, trailblazing investigator of the nature of speech and hearing, noted for his contributions in acoustics, electrical engineering, speech, medicine, music, atomic physics, sound pictures, and education, was born and raised in Provo, pioneer parents. He received his early training at BYU and graduated in 1907 and continued his studies at the University of Chicago. He, with Robert A. Millikan, measured the charge of an electron. This fundamental research, as you will know, contributed greatly in the field of electronics and led to our television and radio industry. On the completion of his studies at the University of Chicago, he was awarded the PhD summa cum laude. Some of you may need to look that up, but you can't do any better than that. It was the first ever such degree offered, awarded by the physics department. Showing his loyalty to the church and alma mater, he returned to BYU and was appointed chairman of the physics department. At that time, he was the only member of the faculty who had a PhD degree. After 5 years of teaching, he was advised by Joseph F. Smith to accept an offer from Western Electric in New York. Here he was assigned to do research in audio, something that was far from his notion of what he ought to be doing. His genius began to bloom, and in due time, he was appointed director of all physical research at the Bell Laboratories. He has published over 51 papers, the first dating back to 1911. If you'll check closely, you'll find every year one or two or three papers regularly being written and published. He has some 18 patents to his credit, two books, which are the accepted treatises on the subject of speech, hearing, and communication. He guided the development of General Electric hearing aid, the first device to use the vacuum tube. The hearing aid, as you know, has given comfort to countless hundreds of thousands of individuals. And he has a very interesting story to tell about the first time that gift of a hearing aid was donated to Thomas A. Edison, who really preferred to be deaf. And besides that, the hearing aid was powered using alternating current, and as some of you will know, Edison was very biased toward direct current. So it was an interesting confrontation. He developed a group survey method of using recorded sound and decreasing volume, which had high acceptance. He aided in making the telephone a pleasant and useful tool for mankind. He first demonstrated stereophonic transmission and stereophonic recording. In 1939, while working with Leopold Stokowski, he presented a concert featuring the stereophonic recording to a capacity crowd in Carnegie Hall in New York. The LDS Tabernacle Choir was heard singing in three dimensions to this vast audience. He has an enviable record of achievement and honor. He helped found the American Acoustical Society and was its first president. He was elected an honorary member of this society, an honor which was shared only by one other man, Thomas A. Edison. He was president of the American Society of the Hard of Hearing and an honorary member of the American Audiological Society, an honorary member of the Audio Engineering Society. He was awarded the Levy Medal for Physical Measurements of the Franklin Institute in 1924. He was president of the American Physical Society, which is a leading physical society of America, and elected vice president of the American Society for the Advancement of Science in 1937. He is a member of IEEE, and it was my pleasure to nominate him for the Founders Award of that organization. He was the first Utah and Latter-day Saint to become a member of the National Academy of Sciences, and he has always been a member of the National Hearing Committee of Medical Sciences. He was given the Progress Medal Award, Medical Award for the American Academy of Motion Pictures. He has acted as a counselor for the Ohio State Research Foundation for 8 years. Few men of American science have been so widely recognized, and he's received honorary degrees from many universities. Dr. Fletcher's greatness lies not only in the field of science alone, but he's endowed with a deep humility and faith in God. He served for 10 years as president of the New York branch and was then set apart as president of the New York State. His guiding hand has been responsible for generating the spirit of enthusiasm and integrity and hospitality in the lives of thousands of young students and scientists who have felt his influence. He was the first dean of our College of Physical and Engineering Science. He came to us in 1952 as director of research and chairman of the engineering department. Over the years, I've heard Dr. Fletcher tell the stories of his Millikan oil drop experiments, of the talking fish in Chesapeake Bay, of his association with the three men who developed the transistor in his department, of his association with the Nike missile, of his affiliation with Edison, of the time that he had a conflict in philosophy when he told a bunch of farmers at BYU, farming students, that the horse pulls forward as hard as the buggy pulls backward, and it was not clear why the buggy should move in that case. I've heard him tell about the time he missed the subway in New York and didn't have a nickel in his pocket, and how he succeeded in getting home. As a result of this great experience over the years, he's been my mentor. I've decided he's a very human individual, and you will enjoy listening to him today. Dr. Harvey Fletcher, Jr. will help direct the activities. Let's have a hand.
There's one thing he left out. He didn't say I was a pretty good fisherman.
Dad, you've been living 95 years. That's almost a century. In the last century, we've had a lot of changes in technology and engineering in this country. You've seen the airplane and automobile and telephone and the sound pictures and all of that come into being, and you played a part in a lot of that. You were born in 1884. If Joseph Smith had been alive, he would have been 80 years old, I think, and I guess you consider that a young man. But it points out that you're only a generation away from Joseph Smith, which is rather interesting. Also, you were alive at the time of Carl T. Major. Did you know Carl T. Major? What was your interplay with him?
Well, I can tell you a story about that, but going back to what were you talking about the first?
I was talking about that you are only a generation away from Joseph Smith.
Oh, yes. I was born in Provo, First Ward, and I was in the primary since I'm 96 now. You can see that's a long time ago, but I remember it as it was yesterday. The primary teacher had us all, she drew a line across the room in which we were, and she said, on this side, there's the Lord's side. And then we had a song, Who's on the Lord's side, who? Then she said, who's on the Lord's side? And I jumped over that line with the rest of them. And then she told us, after we got over the line, we all said we were on the Lord's side, told us a story that I've never forgotten. She said, when I was a young lady, I lived in where Joseph Smith was living, and I stood 8 feet, just 8 feet from him, looking right into his eyes, and watched every movement he made, and heard him give his testimony, which, of course, is a fundamental thing that brought about the organization of our church. And she says, I know that he is a prophet of God, and I want you children to always remember that he was. And I saw him when he was within a few yards from us, bearing his testimony that he had seen God and his son. And I have, that testimony has been with me ever since. That's the thing that I want to talk about on Joseph Smith.
We were talking about Carl G. Mason.
You want me to talk about him?
Some of you freshmen may not know. He was.
Well, I won't talk about him, but I think what Harvey means is goes on to what I've been talking about. I was in the primary once, like all the rest of you, and a pretty good primary scholar. The reason for it is my mother made us go primary. And I don't know why they chose me, but I was chosen when I was still quite a young boy to represent.